How calm my eyes were since that day on the beach in Africa. When there has been a loss so fundamental, I suppose that to lose just one more thing, a finger, perhaps, or a husband, is of absolutely no consequence at all. In the mirror, my green eyes were placid, as still as a body of water that is either very deep or very shallow. Why couldn't I cry? Soon I would have to go and face a church full of mourners. I rubbed my eyes, harder than our beauty expert's advice. I needed to show red eyes to the mourners at least. I needed to show them that I had cared for Andrew, truly cared for him. Even if, since Africa, I hadn't really bought the idea of love as a permanent thing, measurable in self-administered surveys, present if you answered mostly B. So I gouged my thumbs into the skin beneath my lashes. If I couldn't show the world grief, at least I would show the world what it did to your eyes. Finally, I went downstairs and stared at little B. She was still sitting there on the sofa, her eyes closed, her head propped on the cushions. I coughed, and she snapped awake. Brown eyes, orange-patterned silk cushions. She blinked at me, and I stared at her, with the mud still caking her trainers. I felt nothing. "Why did you come here?" I said. "I did not have any other place to go. The only people I know in this country are you and Andrew."
"You hardly know us. We met, that's all."
Little B shrugged. "You and Andrew are the only ones I met," she said. "Andrew is dead. We are going to bury him this morning." Little B just blinked at me glazedly. "Do you understand?" I said. "My husband died. We are going to have a funeral. It's a kind of ceremony, in a church. It's what we do in this country."
Little B nodded.
"I know what you do in this country," she said. There was something in her voice, so old, so tired, that terrified me. That was when the door knocker sounded again, and Charlie answered the door to the undertaker and called down the hallway, "Mummy, it's Bruce Wayne!"